There were a handful of votes in the state House of Representatives, all Democrats, against this bill. One of them came from State Representative Greg Meyer from Chapel Hill. He spoke out against the bill very eloquently in the state House yesterday. He joins us here in the studio now. Greg, thank you for joining us, and thank you for your efforts to fight against this thing that passed yesterday afternoon.
I'm glad to be here, Aaron. I wish I was here under better circumstances, but today is a day that we continue the fight.
So you've got the bill with you, and it's very short in length. It's only a few pages long, but it's packed with so much, and it's so much more than what the state legislature ostensibly went to Raleigh for. So what are the more egregious things that this bill does?
Well, the bill is really a bill that takes back a lot of power that cities and counties had used around employment practices and public accommodations, meaning how do you expect any public business in your town, hotel, restaurant, store, how do you expect them to treat the people? And now a local elected government cannot enact any ordinance that's a non-discrimination policy that would impact those things. Specifically here in Orange County, It repeals our existing ordinance that prevented people from discriminating on the basis of veteran status or family status.
And we've talked about laws like this in Indiana, Georgia, Arkansas, Arizona, South Dakota. All of these states have considered bills like this, and all of them, up until this one, have, at the very least, if it's a bill that effectively legalizes discrimination against gays and lesbians, has at the very least required people doing the discriminating to claim some sort of religious exemption for it. This bill doesn't even do that.
Correct.
Yeah. You can discriminate for whatever reason.
Correct.
Yeah.
You can put up a sign in your window today that says, no gays allowed, and there's nothing our local ordinances can do to prevent you from doing that. You can just make it clear that you're not interested in accommodating those people. You could also put up a sign that says, no pregnant women allowed, and there's nothing that we could do about that.
Or no veterans.
No veterans allowed.
Or only veterans, either way.
Correct.
Yeah. Good Lord. Okay. So the testimony yesterday, and there were people who were at the General Assembly. I know there were a lot of people, state legislators speaking out in favor of and against this bill. And there were witnesses on hand, both pro and con. So what was the testimony like that I assume was mostly ignored?
When there's a controversial bill, the standard practice is to allow one person present from a supportive position and then another person present from an opposing position. There was about a half hour of testimony. People got 2 minutes each, equal number of people. There were probably, I don't know, 10 or 12 people total who presented. It was a charade. The Republican Party had come in ready to introduce this bill at 10 a.m. Anyone who was going to make public comment on it could have only possibly looked at it, but the moment they walked into the committee meeting, we asked for 10 minutes to read the bill, and the committee and the public was given 5 minutes to read the bill.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get public comment on that?
It's only 5 pages long, right? It's not like this 500-page piece of legislation, right? We're speaking with
try reading legislative bills.
Legalese, right?
No matter how much time you have.
Speaking with State Representative Greg Meyer about House Bill 2, which passed by a pretty overwhelming margin in the state house and ostensibly unanimous in the state Senate, only because Senate Democrats were so offended by this that they literally walked out and didn't
bother
participating in the vote.
I wouldn't call it unanimous. I mean, I call it 35-0, but in no way was there unanimous support among senators because the Democratic senators all walked out.
Is there a problem in the first place that needs to be addressed?
I mean, the rationale that was given to us, which everyone has heard about, was the Charlotte non-discrimination ordinance and the idea that somehow the Charlotte ordinance, in an effort to make public accommodations for transgendered people in bathrooms, was going to allow sexual predators in bathrooms and they could use the non-discrimination ordinance as a legal defense.
Mm-hmm.
There are lots of ways to address that specific challenge of sexual predators in bathrooms besides doing what was done here.
Mm-hmm.
So the sweeping nature of this bill shows that the Republican Party used a pretext based on some stereotypes and some fear to do something that is really much, much broader discrimination.
On an economic level, I know one of the justifications for sort of wiping out the local anti-discrimination ordinances and also wiping out local living wage standards and minimum wage and
the child labor provision
is one of my favorites in there.
Right.
I don't know why that's even in there.
I think you can still have a living wage organizing campaign. I think
what Orange County is doing here,
but you can't require it.
Yeah.
Right.
And one of the justifications for that, I think, was, well, we need uniform economic laws across the state so that a business that wants to operate in multiple municipalities doesn't have to worry about obeying these laws and these ordinances in this community and these laws and these ordinances in that community. Is there any rationale behind that to justify this action here?
I can't justify it.
Okay.
Call somebody who voted for the bill.
Okay. So what are the next steps? What do we need to do next?
There will be litigation around this bill, just as there has been on so many other controversial bills out of the General Assembly in the last few years. The unfortunate thing for taxpayers is that not only did they pay $42,000 for us to pass this bill yesterday, they'll pay for the defense of the bill in court. And if and when the court finds this bill to be unconstitutional, then the defendant has to pay the plaintiff's expense too. So they're going to end up, taxpayers end up paying for both sides of the lawsuit if the lawsuit wins. So it's a bad deal. And we've seen so many other lawsuits. I mean, I think I saw a figure today that there were $8 million of taxpayer money spent on defending Amendment 1, the amendment that barred same-sex marriage, which of course all went for naught after the Supreme Court decided to make same-sex marriage legal. So we're really harming our own people with this in so many ways.
How does this compare to Amendment 1? Because when I was following this all the way through the General Assembly yesterday and sort of waking up this morning, not just to the fact that this had passed, but just the reaction to it and against it from so many people across the state and across the country really felt like the day after Amendment 1.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of how does it feel on impact, the gut punch, the tears.
Yeah.
Yes, I think is very equivalent to Amendment 1. The distinction that I would make is Amendment 1 was passed by a vote of our citizens, which had a certain type of pain because it meant that the people who live next to you voted, and you know the people in your community, not necessarily in this community, but in our larger community, voted for that type of discrimination. In this case, the discrimination was clearly perpetrated by one political party in a period of 10 hours. And wasn't something that went to that statewide vote. So we really can blame our legislature while also having to recognize that our legislature does in many ways reflect the interests of the people of North Carolina. So this is part of an ongoing battle in North Carolina, really for the values that we want to build the state around.
And then again, speaking with State Representative Greg Meyer from Chapel Hill, what should municipalities do next? What are they still empowered to do next?
I've talked to Orange County commissioners and the mayor today and Chapel Hill mayor. I talked to Carborough Alderman last night. So I've talked to a few local officials since the bill passed, and I think all of them are trying to consider what legal recourse do they have? Do they want to engage in litigation? They'll have to really talk to their council about that. And then also they're trying to figure out, you know, living wage is a good example. Can they still continue as part of a voluntary living wage campaign and keep pushing for that good value even if this law doesn't allow them to? And I mean, I guess we have to really look at it and figure out, like, what's the legal interpretation? Does the law allow them to do that or not?
Speaking again with State Representative Greg Meyer from Chapel Hill, I got to let you go in a second, but what do you want to leave people with?
You know, the bigger challenge here, Aaron, is this is clearly a political issue. The litigation might change this, but we need a change in political leadership in the state of North Carolina. So when people have asked me today, what can they do? You need to get engaged in supporting political change. Vote, volunteer, donate. We gotta bring in new people, new leaders with better values.
Well said. Greg Meyer, State Representative from Chapel Hill, thank you for all the work you're doing in Raleigh.
Glad to be here. Thank you.